Okay, we are clear. Ready to go live in 5, 4, cue the talent, 3. Hey, I said cue the talent. 2, and 1. Attention hobbyists, sports fans, and collectors nationwide and abroad. It's time to get hype. All a part of. Live from the Mojo Break Studios, it's Dan and Doug.
Come on!
So, get hyped. Be hyped. This is The Hype.
What is going down, everyone? Mojo Break the Hype, episode number 136, actually. Not 135, but it feels like 135. Who even knows what day it is anymore? It's a struggle out there trying to figure out what day it is. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. We're going to talk about Jordan episode 3 and 4, The Last Dance, some of the cards that have been selling from the show. We're also going to be talking about just crazy listings and how you can navigate through some of the, you know, the crazy prices that are out there this day, who to trust and what to look for. So first off, this is going to be a solo show. Rest in peace to Dan. His character on the show is no longer a part of the podcast, guys. We've since moved him out of here to the shipping department, which is on another island now. So just wanted to we got an email about this, and we've just had too many emails about Dan. So me and C-Rad just made an executive decision and just got rid of him. So I'm just going to read the email that we got from a nice gentleman, you know, just giving some great feedback about the show. He said, "I found your pod through the website where I break occasionally, been listening to the Hype for 6 months and have some thoughts I'd like to share. They may fall on deaf ears, but seeing as your pod," and they didn't fall on deaf ears, I'll tell you that right now, because we made the change. But "seeing as your pod represents highly successful breaker site, I assume you're open to customer feedback. Dan is rough," and that's in capitals, "to listen to. He continually drags the show to a halt with inane arguments, forcing Doug to pick the show back up and keep it moving." That's right. I'm always picking the show back up. You know me. "Not only are Dan's opinions often nonsensical, they are often factually incorrect. I can recount previous shows where Dan is making an argument and he spouts 3 to 4 incorrect statements in a row and supports some odd take." So, you know, he said, "Anyways, I think Dan even referred himself as a blowhard in previous episodes, and unfortunately, I concur. Anyways, I'd like to continue to listen to the pod, but after listening to Dan's absurd review of The Last Dance, I think I'm out. My suggestion would have Doug and C-Rad co-host. C-Rad always offers insightful, well-formed opinions and insights. C-Rad and Doug know their shit." And I didn't, you know, that was written. "Co-starring a breaker site does not make a good podcast, though, as they require two completely different skill sets. Thank you for your time." So, yep, got rid of Dan, guys. So you're just going to have to listen to me talk and give my opinions. So it's going to be really weird to have opposite opinions on myself, but I'll try my best. Just kidding. Dan, what's up?
Man. Aaron. Bro. Bitch.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, hot mic there, hot mic.
Oh, no. I knew it was on. That was directed. And I'd say it to your face. I ain't scared. Obviously, you don't get it. You just straight up don't get it. It would not be an entertaining podcast or show, webisode, whatever the hell you want to call it, if all three of us just sat here and agreed with everything we said. Look at all the shows out there. You got to have somebody who's going to take the other direction. You got to have somebody who's going to, you know, speak for the minority. That's what I do.
That's what you're here for.
I'm out here.
You're out there. You have to hold the flag.
I'm speaking for the people who don't have a voice.
Yep. You're taking that LeBron side. You know, somebody's got to. And plus, hey, you're not even faking that side. That's true.
I'm not.
To your soul.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, it's funny. It's funny it happened on that episode because I know that conversation, LeBron Jordan conversation, everybody feels very strong about it. And I'm tired of having the argument. I'm tired of saying that. Tired of saying I prefer LeBron James over Michael Jordan. I'm tired of doing it because I'm tired of all the backlash that I get. People look at me and they're like, "You don't know what you're talking about." So that's why when I worded it that way, I actually came out and said, I prefer watching Me personally prefer watching LeBron James over Michael Jordan.
Nah, you're all wrong, dude. You got to worship Michael Jordan right now because it's the only thing on TV. So you need to kiss the feet of Michael Jordan. I'm telling you that right now. You're not doing good enough job kissing the feet of Michael Jordan.
And I don't care if Aaron listens.
Dan, you're like Isaiah Thomas, and I give
no shits. Don't care. Don't care. This podcast does not pay my bills. Doesn't keep my lights on. Doesn't put food in my face.
In your face?
In my face.
On your face?
Doesn't do it.
See, I want those emails.
I would gladly, whatever money that person is paying us to, view or listen to our podcast, I'll give you 10 times the amount back.
A refund?
Full refund.
Full refund on the podcast.
Full refund. It's just, and I get it. I mean, yeah, you're jealous.
Dude, I want some hate mail. I need to start saying something silly.
No.
I went on here and I called out Breakers. I'm on here calling out Super Break. Nobody says anything.
You think I'm funny?
You think I'm funny?
I think you're funny. Do I make you laugh? I take this shit seriously.
It's not Dan Anderson. It's Derek Anderson right now.
I take this shit seriously.
Alter ego over there. But no, I keep the emails coming. I mean, that's what we want. We want to have emails like this. It was a great way to start off the show. I didn't have to search for content right now. So, I appreciate those emails. I just want some hate mail back.
Of course you appreciate it. Dude, it beats you down. I mean, we're in a pandemic. And I'm trying to do my best over here.
You're entertaining him. You got this guy so mad he probably broke a plate or something, dude. I don't know how he has the time
because everybody has a little too much time right now. But we're in a pandemic. I'm like in the hearts of the pandemic here in Northern California.
But you didn't worship Jordan, dude. You needed to worship Jordan. You got it all wrong.
Going forward, I just need to know that I can't have my own opinion. Yeah. I need to go back to doing what I was doing before for about 35 seconds one show when I just agreed with everything you said.
We should just do a spoof episode where you're just like puppies and kittens and happy rainbows and just talk about how you should just tell me how great I am.
I'm on the edge over here, man.
You should tell me how great I am and my opinions are.
I'm on the edge.
And then you could just talk about kittens, rainbows, and puppies.
There's something about my voice because I could actually speak about kittens and puppies and rainbows and all that shit. And people will still be like, I hate kittens. I hate puppies. Now that Dan likes them, I can't do it.
Yes. I used to like rainbows, but now
I realize that they're full of lies.
They're full of lies. Well, Max said Dan is Fox News and Doug is The View. So I don't know who would I be on The View though. I mean that means I'm a female, right? I don't know if that's I'll take that one, but maybe I'll go for Whoopi Goldberg though. If you want to say I'm Whoopi Goldberg, I'll take that one. But anyways, dude, I think you need to take a 96-hour Vegas trip, even though nothing's open. But let's just say you become like Dennis Rodman and the dance. I gotta say.
One of the best scenes that I've seen so far out of the four episodes is Dennis Rodman coming out of the parking lot, the facility. Riding the motorcycle, has a can of Miller Lite, gets on his motorcycle, has a police escort out of there. The person in front of him, who's also on a motorcycle, almost hits like a car. It was amazing. I mean, Rodman. Badass. And never mind. Maybe I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't make that opinion. I shouldn't have that opinion.
Total rock star status. Carmen Electra. I mean, he's just like, hey, I need some time to go clear my mind. I mean, I don't condone 96-hour binge drinking, but apparently he came back and he played just as hard as he did before. I mean, that's a man of many, many, many talents. And I think Rodman now has gone through sobriety and he doesn't drink anymore. But man, that was epic. Just during the season, I got to take 48 hours, which turned into 96 hours. Did he even get fined for that? Did the team fine him for that? I think they were just, whatever. Pippen came back. He felt like he was a third wheel, and he was dating Carmen Electra. I mean, how far was he? They didn't say where he was, but did he ride wherever he was? Did he take the motorcycle all the way to Vegas? He had to have been like playing, must have been in Golden State or LA or something, right?
It looked like when he was leaving Chicago.
And he was going to take a motorcycle from Chicago to Vegas?
Probably not. He probably
went to the helicopter or something, right?
Private jet. But, man, I don't know. Unsung hero.
Yeah. I mean, and you didn't hear about that back in the day, about him being the third wheel and stuff like that. Everybody knew he was a loose cannon, but didn't know that he was, felt when Pippen came back that his bond with Jordan wasn't there. And Jordan was the first guy to say, hey, give him some time off, guys. Who cares? It's the worm. It's Dennis. You just need some time off. It's perfectly fine. Do you think
I think Jordan was like, he's going to do whatever he wants to do, regardless of what I say.
How would that?
And then Jordan was like, it ain't going to be 48 hours, man.
Yeah. It turned into 96. What would you think would happen if Klay Thompson told the Warriors that he needs 96 hours to go to Vegas? What do you think would happen in modern day basketball?
There's probably a lot. That stuff probably does happen. It just, we don't hear about it. What about Johnny Manziel? He was going to Vegas and hanging out and getting his party on.
But I don't think anybody modernly has missed games for that. I think, unless they're just like saying it's an illness or something, in quotations.
Right? I know Manziel definitely missed practice.
Right. Manziel did.
I mean, we shouldn't be comparing Dennis Rodman to Johnny Manziel, I guess.
Yeah, sorry,
Dennis. No, but I will. Don't worry. I'll do it.
Now, I also heard a lot of people were saying that the Jazz were just as dirty as the Pistons were. And the Pistons are getting the dirtiness. Street cred here, known as the Bad Boys, but they're saying that Karl Malone, and I remember a little bit, Karl Malone, Greg Ostertag, even Stockton, just bullying down the Bulls, trying to use the same theory that the Pistons did to muscle them around. So I thought it was pretty interesting. What did you think about his comments about Isaiah Thomas? Did he keep it real, or did he need to just get over it?
Well, they were on the Dream Team together, right?
No, he didn't let him play on.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
He still hates him.
That's right. That's right. It was Jordan was like, it's either me or Isaiah Thomas.
Yep. Magic Johnson was trying to get Isaiah Thomas on the team, and he was like, nah, we're cool.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the Pistons, that was kind of their mantra right there. That's what they would do, is they would just physically beat you. And that would never fly in today. I mean, imagine if there was a team that played like that in the NBA right now.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you saw some fouls in some of the highlights they were showing on the Last Dance that would probably get you suspended for multiple games.
Oh yeah. I mean, there was
can't be throwing no punches.
No, you can't just be pushing people to the ground.
But I don't really see. I know they said the Utah Jazz very, very similar style of play. They had Malone, they had Ostertag, they had Stockton and Hornacek. I mean, you didn't have Mahorn and Lambeer.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you also have different parts of the country. Detroit, knowing as a bad boy area. Would anybody view Utah at that time?
I don't recall Karl Malone being a dirty player. I don't remember Stockton being I remember Stockton being a good defensive player.
I don't think it was reported that way, but if you watch some videos, there was a video actually with Isaiah Thomas where he went, it was the beginning of the game. It might have been regular season game, and Isaiah Thomas went up for a layup, and Karl Malone just pushed him to the ground. He had like 26 stitches after that in his head. Literally just flagrant foul on Isaiah Thomas. So,
but I could see the Jazz playing the Pistons that way. I can see that because that's basically give them a taste of their own medicine.
Yep.
But the Bulls they didn't play that way. You could say they were more of a finesse team.
The triangle, baby. The triangle.
Triangle. That's what I try to run on pickup games. Let's run the triangle, bro.
I like how Jordan was like, well, yeah, that just takes the ball out of my hands. But they're like, yeah, but you can't win every game by yourself.
Banana swirl.
So this is actually astonishing. Back to the card markets. So this is Scottie Pippen. And Scottie Pippen obviously hasn't played for a while. Scottie Pippen will no longer further his stats. But this is pretty astounding if you want to look at these prices. So this is a month apart. A month apart, you have a 1988 Fleer Scottie Pippen rookie PSA 10 that sold for $739 on March 26th. You have one that sold on April 26th, the same exact card, PSA 10, $2,600.
Lies, so, bro.
So within a month, you had a card that almost sold for $2,000 more. It almost tripled its original selling price before the show. Like, Scottie Pippen did not do anything other than get his face on a TV show. That's it. That's all that happened. I mean, I'm sure if Scottie Pippen was at the VIP party in Atlantic City, I'm sure they weren't paying him that much to be there. You know what I mean? So, like, Scottie Pippen, this is insane to me. This is how society has become, because we're getting so bored with things that people are searching for these cards and they're willing to pay whatever price possible. Like, 88 Fleer is during the junk wax era. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of opportunity after the show's over, after everybody goes back to work, that you're going to be able to buy this card probably closer to the $700 price. So why are people overpaying for these cards? This goes to the chat too. Do you guys have any ideas? Why are people paying? And we have some theories that we're going to share with you guys coming up, but it's just insane to me.
I think 739 is too much.
Well,
I mean, I don't even want to get into the 2675. I mean, $2,700.
Well, I'm going to look at the pop report right now. This is going to tell us a lot, just to see how many of these PSA 10s are.
Who knows how many? I mean, I don't even know if people, I want to see when people were going out and getting these graded. I mean,
well, it's a Scottie Pippen rookie card. I mean, he's a top 50 NBA player of all time by that top 50 list. So, I mean, he's royalty. He's won six championships.
Yeah, but go find anybody else who's not on the Bulls of that same era. That is go find me a John Stockton.
Well, he didn't win six championships.
Okay.
All right. So, to be fair, there's 10, the PSA 10s. There's 217 of them currently. There's probably a lot of them not even graded.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's probably a ton in shoeboxes and people's attics.
Yeah, 6,040 total graded of the 1988 Fleer Scottie Pippins. 2,309s, 2,808s, and 217 PSA 10s. So, I mean, that does make a small pop report there, but just because of the show, we're going to pay another $2,000 for this card during a pandemic. I mean, it just stuff on eBay is just literally blowing my mind. I mean,
but there's nothing that can happen for that card to go up.
Right.
There's nothing that's going to happen unless Jordan comes out and says, and he'd never say this. He's like, Scottie Pippen's better ball player than me.
Right. Not gonna happen.
He's all without Scotty. He's like, I would have been scrubbed.
Well, was there any player that won? And this is a serious question. Was there any player that won six championships with those two? Because I know Rodman wasn't there the whole time. Was it just Pippen and Jordan, and obviously the coach, Phil Jackson? Was there? I don't think Steve Kerr played those the entire time, right?
Kerr was there for a while.
I think he got like four of them.
Paxson.
Maybe Paxson.
John Paxson may have been there. For when was the first one? See, I think Paxson was there probably until like 94, so we probably missed out on the later ones.
I think it was what, 91 when they beat the Lakers. They were showing last night.
Paxson got three, Kerr got three, Grant probably got three.
Will Perdue got three.
Will Perdue. So where are those Will Perdue rookies at?
Robert Parrish got one with the Bulls.
Chief.
Yeah. Steve Kerr got three with the Bulls. Ron Harper got three with the Bulls. Dennis Rodman got three with the Bulls. Scottie Pippen got all six. So, yeah, I literally think it's literally just Scottie and Jordan for those player-wise for all those championships.
B.J. Armstrong probably got two.
Maybe. Yeah. So, literally, it was just those two guys. So with that, I don't know. So people are – this is what happens in this hobby, though, is that Jordan prices are out of control. So what's the next best thing? Well, Scottie Pippen. Dennis Rodman cards went up too. So, I mean, this show has made these cards go crazy. And it might be the time, if you're sitting on any of these cards, to just put it up and don't look back. I mean, especially if you're dealing with a Pippen and Rodman card that prior to the show sold for, you know, 700. Now it's worth 3-4 times as much during this time.
Well, didn't Kerr get one more with the Spurs?
Yes, I think he get two? What, the two with them? Maybe he only has five. He got two with the Spurs. He won in 99 and 2003. So he has five championships as a player and three as a coach.
Three as
they
a,
don't count the coach.
Three
ones.
As a coach. I mean, so he has five though as a player, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Steve Kerr rookies, where are they at?
Right. Steve Kerr. He's up there. He's ranked 14th, tied for 14th. Steve Kerr actually has the same amount of championships as Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, George Mikan, Don Nelson, Michael Cooper, Jim Pollard. I mean, some guys that are on the Celtics team, obviously, that won a lot of championships. So, yeah, Steve Kerr and Kobe Bryant, same amount of championships. And you can throw in you have a big fundamental in Tim Duncan as well. So, crazy. So I also wanted to point out some just ridiculous cards, in my opinion. And I want to kind of navigate you guys through how to kind of deal with this. And I have some suggestions for eBay. So I think there's some things that need to change. This era, you know, we started getting rid of a Beckett pricing. You know, nobody looks at Beckett. Everybody looks at eBay. But I think you need to start questioning eBay final sales as well. And we got to stop using some of those as comps because I think it could be easily manipulated. And I'll show you how. First off, this Mike Trout card that I ripped on absolutely just tore it apart when it first came out. They're selling for like $300 now. So people that bought these cards for, I think, $20 are now selling them for $300.
Does that say SP'd to 2,911?
Yep.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's
come on.
To be fair, it's one of the shortest printed Project 2020s that came out.
To be fair, there's 3,000 of them.
Well, yeah.
3,000's not short printed.
I mean, look at it. It's so weird. And I get the art. I get that's, you know, people like that kind of stuff, especially people who follow that artist. But $300 for this Mike Trout. And I'm talking about the, for you guys that are listening to the audio version of this podcast, I'm talking about the Urmsy one, the Mike Trout number 4, Urmsy. So recently, April 21st, this card got clicked. Buy it now. $300 for this card. So it literally insane. Second year Luka right here coming up out of Hobby Hybrid. Hobby Hybrid second year Luka Disco, numbered out of 25. No auto, no relic, not a rookie. 197. These are cards that we, 3 or 4 years ago, we would be like, do we need to top load this? I mean, if it's numbered 25, we always have.
We would top load as long as
we would.
As long as it's numbered to 199 or less, we
top load. Right, that's our rules. But it's caused us to think outside the box, no pun intended. I mean, that is insane to pay for a Luka card. I mean, his silvers when he came out were barely going. They were going for like $500 for a rookie card. So, like, just to me, I think what you have to keep in mind is that we need to get eBay. And I don't know how it'll happen. Maybe some of our voices, maybe some big companies' voices, is we need to see if these listings get paid. That is the key. Because right now...
But the thing is that why would any manufacturer care? I mean, definitely, I know what you're saying, but you are fighting a battle that I really think it's going to fall on deaf ears, especially the people who are manipulating the market. You're the devil. I mean, because basically what's happening right now is this single-handedly is why all the products are going up so much.
Correct.
So you're not going to have the online retailers. This is directly benefiting them.
Right.
Your distributors directly benefiting them.
Mm-hmm.
Manufacturers, you know, they're going to make the product regardless, but what it is allowing them to do is to start making variations of the same product. That's why you're seeing the Select Hybrids and the Prism Fast Breaks and, you know, all this different variations of a release where there would only be one. Now there's three or four.
Correct. And it's not in my best interest, your best interest to even be talking about this because we sell sealed wax. But I just, you know, at the end of the day, I am a hobbyist. I am a collector. And, you know, this stuff has got me questioning. And I know there's a lot of people at home, which allows this effery to go around. So let's just put it in perspective. This may be a bad example because there's only 25 of them. But let's just say, you know, you were able to buy, let's just say we're going to use this Juan Soto as an example, and I actually was going to block off his name, so I'm sorry. I didn't block off his name there, but he didn't do anything wrong. I'm just using it as an example. That, like, let's just say that the Juan Soto error.
That's debatable.
The Juan Soto error variation card. Let's just say that those were going for $30 at one point. Okay. You could be one guy. You could buy 50 of them, 60 of them, 70 of them, 80 of them, 90 of them. Let's just say you bought 100 of them. You could then send that to Probstein, send 20 of them to Probstein, have somebody bid them up, and then they buy it, or you buy it, you give them the money. Now the market is now set at $80. So now this person can go into Facebook chats, to Raz rooms, or whatever they're doing, and now say that this card is now 80 when they only invested 30 or 40 in 500 of them. So now they just took their money and they doubled it, because we're using eBay as a barometer on what a card should sell for. So, and right now I think it's just out of hand. You're seeing Griffey's, we'll go back to the, I didn't put the Griffey on there. You're seeing Griffey PSA 10 rookie card sell for $1,600. They were $500 2 months ago. So we all know there's like millions of those out there. So it's very easy for a couple people to manipulate the market. Everybody's at home right now, and just everybody's getting their nostalgia on, and everybody's trying to collect the best player. Jordan may be out of reach, so who's next? I'm going to collect Griffey. Who's next? I'm going to try to collect Trout, you know, or for football, you know, I can't buy Patrick Mahomes, but maybe I'll buy Legend. Maybe I'll buy Emmett Smith. Maybe I'll buy, maybe I'll buy Troy Aikman. These cards could easily be manipulated during this time. So all I say is that if you're dealing with a card that's not numbered, like something like this, something like the Emmett Smith, something like a Kobe, just wait. Just wait it out. You don't. It's not a one-on-one. It's not going to go away. I would be very careful with some of these comps. I'd be very careful of a card that went from $500 to $1,500 in a month. It's not sustainable. And that's why I suggest that eBay should, and regardless if they will or not, one thing that will cure all this is if they put the auction got paid. Because it's very easy for somebody to create so-called burner accounts, use their wife's account, bid up a card, even if there's only 10 of them. Let's just say there's 10 of them, and they bid it up to $1,500. Now they can sell theirs for $14. Seems like a deal. They just basically manipulated that one card just to make an extra couple hundred dollars. I'm not saying that's going on, but I could see how easy it is.
It's something that's very easy to, I mean, for a company the size of eBay, to automate a listing once it's paid, to basically put like a check mark by it or something like that when you're browsing through it.
Right.
Wouldn't, I mean, you could even go a step further and say this item was paid and shipped. So if you're going back and you're like, hey, like I'm gonna see what else this guy has, because obviously he sold this high dollar card and he shipped it out and I could see it. I don't have to go through his feedback and try to, because some people leave feedback, some people don't.
Right.
But if you had a little check mark on a completed listing that said paid for and shipped, it's something that can be implemented in an update through eBay's website.
It could be very, I mean, eBay and PayPal are already attached. So
yeah, you paid,
know, they would just have to make some kind of automated software that just puts it, like you said, like a check mark.
But yeah, and then paid, shipped, and returned. And then basically if it has like a return next to it, then you can look at it and go, well, I wonder why it was returned.
Right.
eBay can definitely, they can definitely figure that out. But yeah, I mean, some of the prices on these cards, $600 for card chasings in the chat saying $600 for a Luka is properly valued, I think.
For
the second year.
For which one, though?
The blue one that you showed.
Well, that's out of Hobby Hybrid.
That's out of Hobby Hybrid. But,
well, it went for $195, not $600.
But he's like, when a box of Hybrid goes for $600, that Luka is properly valued. I look at it and go, and regardless of how good Luka is going to be in 5, 6, 7, 10 years, who's going to be going back looking for second year cards? Who's going to go back looking for these? There's plenty of his rookie cards out there.
Right.
There's a lot of releases, and you can look through Prism, and you can look through Select, and you can look through Optic, and you can look through Hoops. You can find it in Donruss. I mean, there is a lot of base heavy products where there is tons of rookies. Yeah. Who's going to go back and be like, man, I really need to get a second or a third year card because that's where the value's at? No, that's not going to happen.
And I understand. I kind of understand the LeBron factor, like where people are buying silver LeBrons and base cards of LeBron for a lot of money. I kind of understand that. But Luka hasn't proven himself. Luka hasn't been to a championship. I'm pretty sure you can get some form of Luka rookie, whether it be from Mosaic or Ascent or something that you can get for cheaper than a Prism Hybrid. But you're absolutely correct. If somebody spends $600 on a box, I do agree that maybe some of the cards should be worth more than a box that's $200. I understand that theory.
But I also look at it and go, then if we're valuing Luka that high, then there's a lot of guys in the league who are absolutely undervalued. I mean, look at Donovan Mitchell. I bet you can get Donovan Mitchell's second year cards, no problem. I bet they're not $200.
Well, right. There's so many guys that don't sell that were successful.
You also look at a guy like Bradley Beal. You can probably go through and buy Bradley Beal's second year cards for a couple bucks.
I mean, look at this. This is just a LeBron market. I mean, you got a hollow silver insert from a retail optic, 1920, $41. I mean, you've got Mosaic oranges. You've got a Mosaic green. I don't even know if those are numbered because we haven't received our Mosaic yet. But, you know, you're seeing this craziness with the LeBron market on the base. Well, that's LeBron. LeBron's been to how many finals now? 8, 9 finals? I mean, I know it's hard for you to talk about LeBron anymore, but, you know, he's been to a lot of finals. And this is some of his first.
Don't be fluffing up LeBron, man. You'll get an email.
But this is some of his first full jersey Laker cards, right? So, I mean, maybe there's a reason why they're selling for so much because it's, you know, some of his first Laker products. But for Luka, second year. Not even a Prism card?
But that's what I'm saying, Max. Like, second year Luka, third year Luka, fourth year Luka. What's the difference? It's not a rookie. Why pay a premium for a second year card?
So, but LeBron, like this one, 95 for Mosaic. I mean, that's okay? I mean, this is what, 13th, 14th year LeBron?
No, that's not okay. I'm not saying the LeBron thing blows my mind too. I don't understand it. What are we doing here?
I don't know what we're doing. I mean,
what are we doing? What's going on? What's the thought process here?
It's crazy. I don't know if it's a matter of everybody having enough, like too much time and, you know, having a lot more time to focus on their collection. And it's become to a point where it's unfocused, you know, like we're literally just buying whatever we can instead of being focused.
Dude, LeBron cards are going to be valued more than the American dollar soon.
Well, yeah.
We're just going to be going around trying to get a mortgage and just coming out with LeBron cards and being like, this is what I got. Like, this is my down payment. Here you go.
I mean, like this one here that I thought I put a picture of, but I did not. This absolutely blew my mind. So it's flawless, and it's a DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf's a receiver for the Seahawks, if you didn't know. And it's a one-of-one sapphire, and it sold for $3,400. I mean,
but did it? Because that listing means nothing.
It means nothing anymore.
It means nothing unless you know that it's been paid for. It means nothing. And with that one, it's a one-of-one. You can't really compare it to anything else.
Right.
Actually, there probably is different variations in Flawless that are one-of-ones of DK Metcalf.
Well, let's just, like, Calvin Johnson. Rookie auto. Let's just, you know.
That's old school, man. We got to live in the now.
Look at that. 153.
153. So you're telling me.
I mean, let's see if I can find. What's the highest? Dual auto with Larry Fitzgerald on card out of Exquisite.
And Larry, and Larry Fitzgerald does not sign.
$405. So why would we pay $3,400 for a DK Metcalf? I have no idea. And I'm not saying
and then below it, buy it now, $400, pristine 10.
Pristine 10. Rookie.
Chrome.
Yep.
Rookie auto number to 50, $400. Why DK Metcalf, $3,100? Well, what's going on?
I am
just almost convinced right now that everybody is shilling their auctions.
Man, it could be. I mean, I don't know. That's why I say, like, we used to say, don't use Beckett, and this isn't an endorsement for Beckett by any stretch of the imagination. I just think
podcast is brought to you by Becker.
I just think you need to do a little bit more research than and then just throwing down bids on a car that you have no idea of the history or the recent uptick in that particular card. And unless it's like a crazy one of a Hall of Famer that you need now, I think I'm just telling you, if you buy in singles, you can wait. It's an absolutely a seller's market, and I'm not against capitalism. I'm not against making money. And if a guy has, you know, $3,400 to buy DK Metcalf, more power to him. But I'm just speaking here to the average collector that don't fall in, and I know the show is called a hype, but don't fall into the hype on some of these cards because it could be easily manipulated right now.
I could almost guarantee you that DK Metcalf was not paid for.
Right.
I could almost guarantee that.
Yeah, could be. Well, that's all the time we got today. We got Gypsy Queen coming up, guys. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We appreciate it. Make sure you follow us at mojobreak_com on Twitter and Instagram. We also have a Facebook page as well. We're going to be doing breaks all week. We've got brand new credentials hockey coming out on Wednesday. We're getting in more definitive baseball. We'll be doing that. We're live every day. We're going to be doing personals tomorrow. So lots of stuff on our website. All you got to do is go on the website. Go to the right side of the site if you're on PC. That's our schedule. Everything's guaranteed to break, and they've been filling at a rapid pace. So I would definitely suggest getting in early, finding something you like. We have all different types of price points, whether it be single box breaks up to 35 box breaks. So check it out. Check out mojobreak.com for your breaks, and we'll be live here shortly with Gypsy Queen. All right, guys. Peace.